welcome to another episode of the Geeks for the Win podcast, the podcast where we cover all things geeky. This is episode 29, and I am William, your host. I go by the gamer tag slash username on Twitter, whatever, you know, basically my alias, Poetic Soul 44, and I'm joined with my co-host Stuart,
known across the internets as Casual Terror,
and making his debut as our official third host, Mr. Henry Knox.
Thank you, sir, or also known as KN0XXX or Knox.
Yes. We've been wanting to have a third host for quite a while, but I mean, we tried getting a couple people, but things just never panned out, and we've just liked the way, you know, Knox has basically just become a part of the site, you know, and he did so well last week, we just, you know, invited him to be a permanent guest, so we expect great things from him on this show.
Oh, thank you, brother. Glad to be a part, man.
No pressure at all, just...
Right. You know, I do have one bone to pick. You know, I've been waiting all this time trying to see when are my benefits gonna kick in. You know, is it gonna be my first paycheck or after that one, or you wait till the cycle passes through?
You're still in training, so
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, you're still technically an intern right now.
Oh, okay.
So we can pay you as much as we want until deemed otherwise.
Right. Okay, well, I'll just accept peanuts.
Yeah, got plenty of those, so.
Nah, I'm happy to be a part of it, man.
Alrighty. I guess I wanted to just quickly touch on, you know, this is a new year, and there's a lot of stuff, you know, ahead of us. So I just basically wanted us to quickly, or, you know, I guess we could take however long we want, but just talk about what all we're looking forward to this year. Because, I mean, there's just, gaming-wise, there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of movies coming out, you know, I guess television shows. I'm not too sure. There's a couple television shows I can think of, but, I guess, does anybody want to go first, or?
I mean, as far as television shows, I had nothing really coming out that's on network TV that I really want to watch. I mean, the event was all right, but it kind of turned out to be kind of, I guess, too long and drawn out. Like, it's almost like the last 10 to 15 minutes of the show, then you really kind of chug the good stuff in, but then it's kind of short-lived because the show usually ends after that. But nothing on regular network television that I really, really am anticipating. I'm kind of curious, just like we talked about on last podcast, I'm kind of curious about The Cape. I really want that show to succeed because that way we'll have something to watch, you know, as far as on the geek side or whatever. And I think it'll be something cool. You know, it'll be something different to change the pace, you know, so that way everything's not all, supernatural type things happening. You know, it's actually going full frontal with the whole comic book, you know, hero type thing. So as of right now, that's probably about it.
Yeah, I saw the third episode of The Cape, and I thought it was pretty good. I mean, I thought it was better than the premiere. I mean, there was less of that one of Chess, the real creepy dude, and they had a different villain, which was pretty interesting. I'm not going to spoil anything, but yeah, like I was saying before we got dropped, NBC, I just saw they picked up a Wonder Woman pilot, so I'm not sure where that could go. I honestly don't know too much about Wonder Woman, so I really don't have the knowledge to get excited, but I guess it just seems like NBC is going like superhero comic style with their shows, which sure does seem like they have a lot of them.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, but did they just pick it up, or have they scheduled to actually film the pilot and actually go through with it? Because I know it was rumored, but I don't know if it was actually, going to be filmed or whatnot.
I just saw something the other day that just said they picked it up. I mean, it was like last Thursday, I think. I don't know too much details, but, you know, but besides that, for TV wise, I can only think of Breaking Bad and The Walking Dead on AMC.
Yeah, they got picked up for a second season.
Yeah.
So, like I was saying before, I mean, I just really hope that they go all the way with the Cape. I mean, I really hope that this show gets support from people like us in the community and stuff like that. I mean, if you haven't seen it, just give it a chance. I mean, because it's, I mean, so far from what I've seen, the first two episodes are great.
Yeah, and I just hope we don't have a writer's strike, because that's what killed Heroes. I swear that's what killed Heroes, because the first season was awesome. Then the writer's strike, second season was crap. They tried to recover with the third, but they just couldn't recover from that writer's strike. But Stuart, anything you're looking forward to TV-wise? Well,
TV-wise, just kind of the usual stuff, you know, new season Doctor Who. Maybe we might hear some more things about the American Torchwood. I don't know. But yeah, like, I can't really think of much other than that.
Alrighty. I guess gaming-wise, I know, we're going to talk about some of the stuff I'm looking forward to, but right now, just the ones I can name off the top of my head, Marvel vs. Capcom 3, Bulletstorm, Killzone 3, Little Big Planet 2 just came out. I got to find a way to pick that up. That's just the next 2 months. And there's probably a bunch I'm forgetting, but what are y'all looking forward to?
Well, go ahead.
I was just gonna say I'm looking forward to Elder Scrolls V. I doubt it's gonna come out this year at all, but just, you know, hearing some news about it, because I was with Tin Pan, you know, right there when we saw the trailer for Skyrim. Whew, I cannot wait.
Yeah, I think Skyrim may make it out, because they've set that date to be, what is it, 11-11-11?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it may come out. I think they're going to push back Mass Effect 3. I don't think that's coming out.
I'm looking forward to Mass Effect 3, of course, but what? Never know. Maybe I'm also looking forward to, we've talked about this before, Diablo 3. It's coming out this year. That's what I'm saying. It's coming out this year.
Oh, we're not seeing that game for another 5 years.
Nope. It's coming out this year.
That would sure make me a happy gamer.
If you just chant it, then you can believe that it will.
Since I'm not going to be able to make it to PAX East this year, unfortunately, I've been offered a chance to go to BlizzCon. So I'm definitely jumping on that.
Cool.
Yeah, you bet you'll be like just a kid in a candy shop.
So I'm probably going to be able to play Diablo 3.
Maybe so.
I hate you then. I hope they have it at PAX East then.
don't know.
I don't know either. But
I'm also kind of looking forward to seeing what comes out of E3. Saints Row 3 would be nice.
Isn't that supposed to come out this year?
I don't know.
Huh. I saw something on that. I'm not sure if it was a rumor or I don't know.
From what I've read, Saints Row 3 is just a rumor. So if it's been announced, hooray. If not, I want it to be announced. And I'm looking forward to some Knights of the Old Republic. Or the Old Republic, I should say. Not Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to that one.
Did they announce it's supposed to be coming out this year?
They haven't set a release date yet, I don't think.
Yeah, but I think everyone thought it was going to come out this year.
Yeah, because they've been showing trailers since, like, early last year.
Yeah.
Well, actually, the year before that.
Yeah, it's true.
So, yeah, for the last 2 years. But, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that game. Nox, what about you?
This is more like a prediction, but it's also an anticipation, too. I'm really curious to find out if the rumors are true about the Halo Combat Evolved Halo 1 remake. I really hope they bring that game out with the Reach engine, because just for two reasons. Like, I think that'll be a good test run, you know, for 343 Industries to kind of figure out, you know, kind of get their sea legs going. With as far as putting out a multiplayer game, supporting it, you know, getting the whole learning factor down as far as supporting the community and, you know, different servers and everything. But I really hope that they bring out Halo CE in HD, you know, fully redesigned with the Reach engine on it. So that's one thing that I'm waiting on, or hoping for, rather. Next thing would probably be Deus Ex. I was pretty quiet with this game for a long while until I seen the trailer that came out a couple months ago. Then it's got this cool art style to it. Graphics look good on it from what I've seen in the trailer. It has like how the Matrix has like that green hue to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this game has like a sort of like a goldish type of bronze hue to it, and I like the direction they're going in with the whole human cybernetics slash, you know, almost android type structure of like the human body. I don't know too much about the story as of yet, but it looks pretty good from what they've shown. And, I'm always looking forward to E3. I'm kind of curious to see what all the console manufacturers will try to present, because we saw the Wii give us back more of the hardcore games like Metroid Other M. We saw Donkey Kong this year. Hopefully Zelda will be there. Hopefully we'll get to actually play an actual Zelda game. Hopefully Microsoft will bring something else out, because as it stands right now, they don't have any type of exclusive games.
They'll bring a lot of Kinect shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They got the Steel Battalion game coming out for Kinect.
I can't see how that's going to work. You go from like a 32-button, like massive $2,000 console to nothing. How is that
absolutely
gonna work?
Nothing? Yeah, I don't know how it's going to work. I mean, hopefully they'll be able to do it with a couple simplified gestures. Hopefully they won't have you know, putting your knee up, grabbing your left arm, swinging your elbow to do all these type of actions. So hopefully they'll do it right. And also, Child of Eden is coming too. I'm just really curious about all these games. I'm not saying that I'm going to just be anticipating, you know, salivating over it, but I'm just curious to see what the technology is going to be able to do after it's kind of been in the hands of these developers, especially the Japanese developers. So hopefully they can, you know, give us a little something more than, you know, Breast Grabber 5000 or whatever.
Definitely. And, I think I'm looking forward to seeing what the 3DS and PSP2 are gonna, if the PSP2 does come out this year, what they're gonna offer. Mainly because, you know, we're gonna touch on the 3DS later, but a lot of people are talking about it, and, you know, it's really hard to see what it's like, you know, because you can't see the 3D when you're watching videos online about it. You can't really get that experience.
Yeah. I think the extra cost of that 3DS is going to... I don't think that they're going to lose any money on it, because people who want Pokemon, who want the 3DS, are going to go out and pick it up anyway. But know, kind of just for me, like I just think that 3D novelty will wear off really, really, really quickly. Like, I think you'll kind of jump into each game with like, oh, I want to put it on 3D. But slowly you'll probably just turn that slider off.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that because Pokemon, the new Pokemon games come out before the 3DS does, I think. So that's, oh, wow. That's kind of a, you know, it's not going to be 3DS compatible. It's just going to be regular DS. So that's kind of a, you know, huge failure for them. They could have really, you know, launched with Pokemon 3D and really made, you know, the launch title, you know, because I'm sure a lot of people would have bought that. Would buy a 3DS to do the Pokemon 3D or whatever, because 20 something years later, it's still popular as, you know, can be. It's still an addictive RPG. But yeah, I'm just basically curious on what all is going to happen with those two handhelds. I'm not too big into handhelds myself, but you know, as far as technology-wise goes, I'm real curious, especially with all the PSP2 rumors.
Yeah, they were saying they're supposed to be somewhat, I guess, as powerful as the PS3.
Yeah, which that kind of seems crazy, but the PS3 did come out, like, what, almost about 5 years ago, 4 years ago? And technology increased.
Yeah, but then that kind of shoots down their whole argument. Or their whole, you know, banter saying that it's supposed to have a 10-year life cycle and the cell processor was supposed to be, you know, this futuristic chip that can, you know, it's going to change gaming and be your whole computer entertainment console and so on and so forth. I just think a lot of times Sony just shoots itself in the foot.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But I mean, if it is as powerful as the PS3, I'd love to see, like, you know, playing Uncharted, you know, 3 or whatever, and then, you know, having to leave and, you know, I guess transferring it to your PSP2 and finishing it up on the road or something like that.
Yeah, those aspects will be cool.
Yeah, but no one knows. Sony's got, you know, they've got the advantage of surprise, basically. So, but I guess the last topic would be movies that we're looking forward to. I don't know about y'all, but there's like a lot of movies I'm looking forward to. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, there is a bunch of them.
I mean, I'm looking at a list and I see the new Pirates of the Caribbean, X-Men First Class, Green Lantern, Transformers, Harry Potter, Captain America, Cowboys and Aliens.
Yes, I was gonna say Cowboys and Aliens. That looks awesome.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, the list goes on. I mean, it's just gonna be a crazy summer. I mean, I don't know how my wallet's gonna handle it, because I'll definitely want to see a lot of these movies on the big screen.
Not that this is going to be good, but they got they have also Scream 4 coming out, and there was a movie being I don't know if this was a movie or a game, but they had it advertised on the 360 dashboard. The Eagle.
I don't know.
Don't know.
This director is called Kevin McDonald's. Spot these guys in Rome. Whatnot. It was on the 360 dashboard, and they still have it on there.
Yeah. Wow.
But I don't know.
I'm looking, and I do see a bunch of like movies that are just going to be crap, like The Smurfs, Final Destination 5.
Oh man.
I kind of like the Final Destination series. I mean, it got silly.
I like the first couple, but the last one, they said, it's the final destination. The final one. Nope. Obviously
just like
not.
It's the Final Fantasy, right?
Yeah, that's true. I had a conversation about that with someone today, funny enough. But yeah, it's just... what else? Paranormal Activity 3. I've never watched any of those, so I don't know.
I've seen the first one. That was okay.
Yeah, that type of movie doesn't jump out at me as sequels or even a trilogy. I mean, but what else? Kung Fu Panda 2, I'm looking forward to that.
Never saw the first one.
Oh, yeah, I never saw the first one either.
Oh, the first one's good. It's some funny stuff. It's really funny with Jack Black. He can definitely do comedy, silly, goofy stuff, right? He just needs sometimes to stay out of video games. But yeah, they're definitely looking forward to probably Pirates, Captain America, and Cowboys and Aliens the most.
I'd probably say Captain America and probably Thor. I just wanted to hurry up and go ahead and release these movies so they can get to the Avengers. Kind of curious to see it. I just hope they don't epic fail it, man.
Oh, I can't imagine it being an epic fail with Joss Whedon. Maybe that's just because I'm a Whedon fanboy, but.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like a big fan of the comic of the Avengers. I mean, I just think Robert Downey Jr.'s character is, I think it has the potential to be too big, and I don't know if what's the guy's name that's going to be playing
Chris Evans.
Captain America?
Chris Evans.
Yeah, do you think his personality can be that much over Robert Downey's to where he doesn't steal a whole lot of the screen time? Because technically, Captain America is supposed to be the leader of the Avengers.
Yeah, I don't know. Every time I try thinking of him as Captain America, I just flash back to the Human Torch.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played a really good Human Torch.
Yeah, because that's his personality, so I just don't know if he can pull off the stern, you know, leadership type, you know, role that can carry a movie, because he's supposed to be the forefront character. He's Captain America.
I don't know. I mean, he might be able to. I mean, he didn't have a huge role in the Scott Pilgrim movie, but he kind of played a confident, arrogant type character in that. So.
Oh, okay.
Well, he kind of reminded me of Wolverine in the Scott Pilgrim movie.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that role versus him as the Human Torch were like two different roles completely. So. I mean, he can act. I'm pretty sure he can act. So it's just whether Robert Downey Jr. will be better or not, you know. I think that's a lot of people's worries, is he's going to overcast, you know, Chris Evans, and it's going to appear like Iron Man's in the lead, you know.
Yeah, that was my biggest concern.
But, I just a lot of stuff basically – I guess I just wanted to foreshadow a lot of topics we're probably going to talk about in the future this year. All those things we're probably going to end up talking about sometime this year. But next we can go on to, I guess, the 3DS. We were talking about that a little before. It's priced at $250. A lot of people were thinking it was going to be $300 because I think it's coming out in Japan equivalent to $300 U.S. So, and it's going to be released March 27th? Yeah.
Yep.
So, what do you guys think about that? Are any of y'all getting one?
I just recently bought a DS. And I bought one game for it, and I've not played it a whole lot. So I'm not probably going to spend the money to get a 3DS. Because I'm not a handheld gamer.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I mean, I live in Texas, and my commute from place to place is probably about 20 to 30 miles away. And I'm usually the one driving, so I really don't have any time for a handheld. And, you know, I mean, 3DS is cool. I mean, like I said, I mean, it's a cool novelty to kind of jump in, but, you know, it's, I treat to the 3DS just like I treat the iPhone. I mean, I still have an iPhone 3G because, you know, so many iterations of that technology like come out so quickly that, you know, you really don't have time to try to keep up with it. I mean, you know, and furthermore, Nintendo, they don't have a trade up program. And, you know, thank God that they finally have come to the, you know, 21st century and they started allowing you to transfer your games and, you know, saves and content over from your old system to the new system. Does it play DSi games?
I think so. I think it's DS capable, yeah.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool what they did. But, I mean, $250 for a handheld. I'm sorry, man. I don't have a PS3. I'll spend $250 on a used PS3 somewhere before I pick up a DS, you know. And because I got my iPhone, I think that's who they're really competing with because – a lot of times, just like the, you know, the PSP2, like they're trying to make these home console experiences on the go, which is fine for a person who has time to do that. I just frankly just don't. And I mean, you know, I was listening to a station one day, and it was in the another guy, one of the PR guys for the iPhone said, "Well, hey, we're not competing against other game makers. We're just competing against boredom." And that's what I use my games for. You know, I play Angry Birds because I'm bored. I play Game Dev Story because I'm bored. I don't want, you know, a full console experience inside my hand. Not all the time. And I'm certainly not going to pay $250 for it.
Yeah, but I kind of think $250 at first was a lot. But if you really think about it, I mean, it's not only is it the, you know, game system, it's got the 3D, but it can also do like 3D movies and 3D camera, basically. It's a 3D camera. So if you really think about it technology-wise, it's kind of a good deal because I don't think – I mean, it's the first 3D camera for regular consumers that I can think of. I haven't seen a 3D camera on the market at all, so.
I have, but it's – and I think it's probably a little cheaper than even the 3DS. Maybe it's about the $200 mark. But I've only seen one.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. I can't tell you what it was.
Yeah, but the thing for me is if I did play handhelds a lot, I probably would pick it up. But I mean, I've bought a DS maybe 4 times since, you know, since the very first DS, just because I just wanted to, you know, pick up and play some of the games because they seemed interesting, and I just ended up never playing, you know. I was just stupid. I just would pick it up because, oh, you know, Professor Layton and Henry Hatsworth, oh, those puzzle games look really awesome. Oh, Pokemon, okay. And I'd play it, and then I would just get bored with it.
Yeah, that's what it was like for me. I didn't really play my I bought the original PSP when it first came out. Didn't play it. I think I gave it away. I bought the DS. I never got the DSi, but you know, I played it for a little bit here and there, small games or whatever. But I think the 3DS is fairly priced. I think for the technology that you're getting, I mean, if you're going to use it. That's just my thing, is that I don't think that I would personally get that much use out of it. But I think it's fair though for everything that you're getting with it. And did you see that little feature that it has where it can talk to other DSs even when it's turned off or whatever?
Yeah,
it transfers information.
That was pretty cool. But there are a couple games for it that I would just love to play. Like, if I knew someone who had one, I would, like, beg them to play a couple games. Like, the Star Fox. I mean, Star Fox for the N64 was one of my favorite games. That was probably the game I played the most besides Mario 64.
Yeah, those games look cool, remade. Just like the Ocarina of Time. Those look really, really good.
Yeah, but if I did buy them, you know, I'd play it for maybe a few weeks, maybe a month the most, and I'd just stop. I'd probably just stop because I don't have too much time to be playing handhelds, and I don't like to carry big, clunky, you know, devices around. I ended up just getting rid of my last the last DS I had, and I got an iPod Touch just for, you know, it's not just for music player and all the little games it has, you know, dollar here and get Angry Birds and so forth. So that's pretty much what, you know, that's pretty much works for me. I can listen to music and just pull out my iPod Touch and play Angry Birds on the bus home.
Yeah, I can't see myself spending $250 for something that's never gonna leave the bathroom.
It just depends on how much time you spend in there, though. But anyway,
I spend quite a bit of time in there, but
probably next week, if the rumors are true and they do announce the PSP2, we'll end up talking about that. I mean, just the rumors are just crazy. I've heard so many different rumors, and so I've seen probably a dozen different screenshots of the supposedly PSP2 for the last year and a half.
Yeah, I put that post up, what was that, like a couple weeks ago? But what do you guys think? I don't want to, you know, turn this into like a Sony bash cast or whatever, but I mean, realistically and honestly, what do you guys think Sony needs to do to try to even break into, you know, the dominant, you know, DS market that they pretty much come in and just dominated the handheld market. And it's like PSP is like an afterthought.
Well, I think first they need to, like, they need to pick a type of system, digital or UMDs, cartridge, mini CDs, whatever. They need to pick something and stick with it and support it, you know?
You say it's going to be downloadable.
Yeah. Well, they need to do that, and they need to support it, unlike the PSP Go, where they were like, oh, yeah, you can get the UMD games and you can get the digital copies for whatever PSP you have. And then months later, some games didn't even come out for digital download.
Yep.
So they need to support that. They need to add certain stuff to it. Like, I mean, they need to add support to it, like the PSN stuff. Like, if they added Netflix for it, that would be a big thing, I would think. I don't know if they have them or not, but the trophies, if they have them for PSP games.
I think they have them for the minis.
Yeah, and that's another thing. They need to price the minis accordingly, because I think the minis are like $5 when the minis are supposed to, you know, compete against the Angry Birds and Cut the Rope and games like that on the iPod Touch. They need to price those accordingly. I mean, Sony, the PSP was the first one through the Go, I guess. That was their first real entry into the handheld market, you know. Nintendo's had 20-something years, so of course the DS was going to be end up being huge, because they had how many Game Boys and Game Boy Advance systems they had launched and found out what people liked. And, yeah, you know, we've all complained about the PSP, about its faults, so Sony they have the chance to improve those. Because, I mean, I used to own a PSP, and it ended up getting stolen, so, I mean, I didn't really feel the need to buy a new one, but I love that thing. That thing was, you know, that I played that a lot more than I did the DS, because, you know, I really didn't like the whole touchscreen with the stylus for the, you know, DS. And, you know, I like the mature games that the PSP had to offer. So,
yeah, but do you think that that's going to appeal to, like, the masses, though? Because I think that was kind of, you know, part of their problem. Like, even though that's their niche group that they can kind of appeal to as far as the hardcore gamer. Like, I love the Grand Theft Autos and the Metal Gear Solid Peace Walkers on, you know, the PSP. But after a while, I mean, you kind of sitting there, and I don't know if it's just me, but I just kind of wish that, hey, I wish this was on an actual disc-based game And I think that they need to focus on more of the casual jump in and jump out games in their mini section. I think that's the key to being successful in a handheld market, especially somebody like me, where, you know, when I jump into a handheld, I don't have that much time. So, I mean, give me the ability to just kind of jump in and jump out. Give me these little small bite-sized chunk experiences that I can just have fun real quick, 15 minutes, jump back out, and now I'm back on to like the next thing.
And that's what they can do. They can do that with the mature, because you look at the iPhone / iPod Touch, and they have like, you know, Infinity Blade. They have the Street Fighter game that looks actually really decent. They got the Resident Evil, the Dooms, the, you know, pretty mature type games, but it's just feels weird to play, you know, on a touchscreen. I mean, I think those types of games would really benefit if Sony could try to, you know, bring out $5 or, you know, maybe $5, $6 Doom type game, or, you know, even a $10 like game like that, like $10 Street Fighter game or something like that. I really think they could succeed that way.
Yeah.
But I guess that's enough for now. Stuart, do you have anything to add, or
ditto?
Alrighty.
I just add real quick. They just really need to get their, I don't know, like one game that just really their halo, I should say, of the PSP. The one game
it's supposed to be Killzone.
But he said PSP, not PS3. But yeah. I would have thought, I was really thinking that Little Big Planet would have been it, you know, having that on the PSP. I would have thought that would have been huge, but I really don't know it. I never heard anything about it taking off, you know.
Yeah.
So
they just need that one game to really just kind of throw them.
Definitely, I agree with that. Wow, we talked more about Sony than Nintendo. Next, I guess we can get into some other gaming types. The Ilo Milo demo.
Oh yeah, I was playing that this past week. I played the demo probably about three different times. Got through the first five puzzles. I like it, man. It's a pretty cool game. I played it on one of my coworkers. He got the Samsung. I can't think of the model number, but he got the Samsung Windows 7 phone, and he bought that. He bought a couple other games on his Windows 7 phone, but it was pretty cool. And he was like, "Yeah, you know, if you don't have a Windows 7 phone, they have it over Xbox Live." And I was like, "Oh, they do." So I went home, downloaded the demo, played it for a little bit. It's a cool little game, man. What you basically play as, I don't know which one's Ilo and which one's Milo, but you play as these little creatures, and there's like a world full of like squares kind of floating inside the air. And you basically have to get Ilo and Milo together in order to go to the next level. But in the process, of course, some of the puzzles, they start you off where it's real simple and easy, where you just kind of walk in along the puzzle area, then you get to one point to the other point. But then the puzzles start to get complex. They start to roll. They start to pivot. There are certain arrows that you step on where they pivot left, and then the whole screen just pivots on its axis. So you're still, you know, you're still looking at it straight, but what you're walking on now is probably like, you know, the ceiling or either the side panel of like the wall that you just came off of. And it gets really, really complex. My wife sat down and played it up until about like the fourth stage, and she got frustrated and threw the controller down and then gave it to me, and I finished it off. But this is a pretty cool demo, man.
Yeah, I tried it out too, and it seemed like it'd be an interesting game. I mean, first thing I thought of when I saw it was it looks very cutesy.
Yeah. I like the arts and craftsy look to it.
But yeah, I played the did the demo today for about maybe 20 minutes, and it was pretty fun. You know, I definitely enjoyed it. There were some parts where I was scratching my head trying to figure stuff out, but I don't know if I'm gonna buy it though. I mean, I think maybe I'll wait for it to be on sale for a deal of the week for maybe 400 Microsoft points or something.
It'll probably be on sale for about $5 after too long, because I mean, the way things are going on, especially Xbox Live Arcade, it seems like everything's dropping every other week. There's some other deal going on every week. But I also like the music on it too. I mean, the music is pretty cool. Even into like the menu screens, you can actually play the notes of the actual music that's playing behind it from like the menu screen. I don't know if you noticed that.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, when you scroll up and down in each menu section, like, you know, I guess like a different song plays, and basically the behind keys of the song that you're listening to, you can play the keys with the menu system as you scroll up and down. So I thought that was pretty cool. It was a cool little detail.
That's interesting.
What I really liked about it was the text on the loading screen. Those made me chuckle a couple
oh,
times.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Like Sebastian has 492 hats, but he only wears one. The others hold notes for his words he made up.
Yeah. And then I like how they have like a little story along with it. Like when you find these little, I guess it's like shards of pieces of letters or whatever. I guess Ilo is writing to Milo or vice versa or whatever, where it tells like the story, like the backstory behind it. Like he was trying to find her or him or whatever. And then I didn't pick too many of them up, but it's kind of cool that they even put that type of little story tidbit in there behind, you know, this little simple puzzle game. A lot of details put into it.
Oh yeah, those like those little things, like, you know, Pac-Man pucks or whatever, just kind of sit along the path. I just wanted to collect them all.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely an interesting little puzzle game. If no one else got anything else to say, I guess we can move on to the next on the list, the X-Men arcade game.
Yes, sir. Man, I've been wanting this game to come out. This game and the Simpsons arcade, which we haven't gotten yet, but I've been having a lot of fun with the X-Men arcade, man. I bought it a while back, never got a chance to play it. Do you have it, Stuart?
I got the demo today.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Man, if anybody wants to play, man, hit me up, man, because this game is completely nostalgic heaven for me, man. I was playing this game, man, just remembering the days of going to, like, you know, the arcades, and all six people are lined up along the side of the panel of the arcade, man. Played around for a little bit, whatever, but the only thing is that if you don't have a nostalgic attachment to this game, I wouldn't recommend you buying it, because it is $10, and I mean, the game more or less it's not a long game at all. Like I finished it like in one sitting in like maybe about 40 minutes. Not even that, I don't think.
Yeah, I picked it up like when it first launched and ended up playing with a few people, and we ended up playing it over and over again, having fun, switching characters for the achievement, and I still have to get the 6-player achievements.
Yeah, I never understood that achievement. Do you have to beat it with 6 people, or do you have to beat it with all 6 X-Men?
I think both. There's achievements for both. You have to beat it with each X-Man, and you also have to. I think there's 2 achievements for 6 people. Playing with 6 people, but I think there's enough people in the tag community that has the game to where we need to, like, you know, shoot a message out on Twitter and say, you know, anybody want to go after the 6-player X-Men arcade achievement? and get something going that way.
Yeah, we need to do that.
But yeah, that's one of the games I was looking forward to. I mean, that, like you said, the Simpsons game and the Ninja Turtles arcade game that's been out for like ages on the.
Oh yeah, well they brought it out, but they kind of messed it up with those revamped graphics.
Oh, I'm talking about the old one, the first one, that not the Turtles in Time reshelled other one.
Oh yeah. I think they have that one, but they have the NES version though.
Yeah, it's only $500. It's only $5, so.
Yeah, it's like $5.
That's a pretty good game. That's a pretty fun game too. But
yeah,
same feel to it as the X-Men. But yeah, I love when they bring out the retro games for, you know, $5 or $10.
Exactly.
Especially if they're co-op.
The one problem I had with the X-Men arcade game was it was way too easy.
Oh yeah.
Like,
and then the Japanese version is even easier.
Like, you get the power-ups.
Yeah.
Like I was playing on the extreme difficulty. And you know, I would die, you know, I'd use my three lives and press A. Oh, I'm back. I've just popped in two more quarters.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. It's not easy. It's the same difficulty. It's just you don't have to put in quarters.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I think they should limit the number of continues.
Yeah.
Or either I think at least they should give you an option to where you can change it, kind of like respawns in Rainbow Six.
Yeah.
I'm just glad they didn't put an achievement tied to that because, I mean, like, you know, not using a continue, because I don't see any way unless you teamwork and, you know, one person hides in the corner while everyone else fights, because that game is pretty hard, because you will end up dying and having to use a continue
before it's just a process of numbers, because there's certain periods of time where there's maybe upwards to about, what would you say, probably about maybe 15 enemies on screen at like one time.
Oh yeah,
and then they form those lines where it's like a firing squad and they all shoot at the same time. There's no way that you can avoid getting hit by that.
That's when you know your Nightcrawler and use your power and zip all over the screen and just take them all out.
Yeah,
okay, but what if I like to play as Dazzler?
Dazzler.
You know, that was one character I didn't play.
So you didn't do what?
That was the one character I didn't play with.
Dazzler's one of the good characters, actually.
I played with them all, but that one.
Yeah, she has that range attack. But the only thing is, when you use that range attack with her, like, she's real vulnerable because she kind of stays in that animation for a pretty good while. But yeah, I mean, if you land it, I mean, you can pretty much destroy like a whole bunch of enemies.
Yeah, her and Colossus are probably my two favorite in that game.
Yeah.
Colossus can, you know, definitely wreck. But yeah, definitely a fun game, and we definitely have to try to get enough people to do that six-player achievements.
Yeah, and if you're really hardcore, just know that the original voice actors don't do the voicing for it. They actually re-recorded, I think, all of the voice acting for it, which is kind of good in a lot of ways, because it sounds a lot cleaner. It doesn't sound as what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of muffled, or kind of like somebody's like on the telephone or whatever, kind of digitized. But I kind of wish they would have gave you an option in like the options menu to like put the original voices on there.
Yeah, I can tell you that I'm not losing any sleep over that. But yeah, definitely a fun game. And next, I guess, the Mass Effect 3 on the PS3, or Mass Effect 2? Is that supposed to be 2?
Mass Effect 2.
It says 3. That's why I got confused.
Yeah.
But the interactive comic.
Yeah, it's about a 15-minute interactive comic for the PS3. I played it. It's actually pretty good. It actually does a really good job of telling pretty much every portion of like the backstory. It hits all the major bullet points. It goes through a lot of the things that happen in ME1. I just gotta kind of go through like the major decisions. Like it gives you six major decisions that you basically go through. In the interactive comic, it kind of tells the first part of the story. Then it goes along. Then like the first decision is the Liara and Ashley love interest decision. And what you get is pretty much the same thing like you get in the game when you have a dialogue tree that pops up at the bottom portion of the screen. And okay. All you do is just move your cursor. Yeah, all you do is just move your cursor towards whichever decision that you're going to make as the comic is going along. And Commander Shepard is doing the voiceover voice for it. I'm not sure if you pick a female, if the female Shepard would do the voiceover for it. But as it stood when we downloaded the Cerberus Network onto the PS3, only Commander Shepard, the male Shep, was doing the voiceover for it. The second decision is, of course, the Rachni decision. The third one is whether Rex lives or dies. The fourth one is the Caden and Ashley, whether you let, want to be sacrificed, which one, is up to you to choose. The fifth one, I believe, was whether you have to save the council or not. Either you save the council or let the council die or whatever. The sixth one is the Captain Anderson or the Udina promotion. And that's pretty much what it goes through in the interactive comic, kind of gets you up to speed on Mass Effect 1. Pretty much. And then from there, you pretty much have your actual game save and you start Mass Effect 2 on the PS3. Really no changes from there. I was listening to the Tag podcast and a couple others. And it seems like the general consensus, and from what I saw on the TV that I was viewing, it was on a 32-inch LCD 1080p TV. So, I mean, as far as the graphics-wise, there's really not too much of a difference. The only thing difference that I saw was that motion comic, the interactive comic portion of it. But as far as graphics and assets rendered and stuff like that, I didn't really see a huge difference.
Even though it's on the new engine?
Yeah. The only thing about that is I was talking in a party. I think you were in that party, Poetic. I think it was me, Zabari. We was talking about a couple things. But the only way you're gonna see a difference is if art had been made for the new engine, or like different assets have been created for that engine to actually run off of. If you use the same rendered art or the same assets, then it's pretty much going to look exactly the same. Just like kind of like Reach compared to Halo 3. Like Reach looks better because of the fact that they kind of, dumped everything out that they had in Halo 3 and they rendered new art assets for the new engine. But if they would have slapped the engine on, say, Halo 2 or Halo 3, it would look exactly the same, even though the engine is supposed to technically be better.
Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, did you buy it?
No, I didn't buy it. I actually went over my friend's house and actually took a look at it, and he actually bought it. He bought it brand new.
Well, does the interactive comic play into like for us on the Xbox, our game save carried over? What about the interactive comic? Did those choices carry over to the game?
Yes, all the choices that you pretty much make in the interactive comic do carry over, and that's like I like the fact that they do that. I know PS3 goers don't have a choice, but I just feel like if you because BioWare was kind of like selling this version as like the definitive version of Mass Effect 2. Like, if you wanted Mass Effect 2, this is the console to buy it on. And I don't think that's true because of the fact that, because that one factor, because you don't have Mass Effect 1. And because of that, like, little things like Conrad Werner, I can't remember the lady's name with her sister. Little things like that are not going to be in Mass Effect in your Mass Effect 2 save, because those characters just aren't there, because you don't get those type of decisions. All you get is those major six. Also, too, when you're going through like the comic, like I didn't tell the person that I was playing with, you know, anything about ME1. I just let him just kind of go through it and pick it or whatever. I was just taking notes on it, but he really didn't get an opportunity to get the emotional attachment that you get with Rex, that you get with Ashley. Like, those decisions really don't have the type of weight that they have when you play Mass Effect 1. You know, I mean, when you play Mass Effect 1, when you're trying to, you know, decide, okay, which love interest do I go with? Do I go with Liara? Do I go with Ashley? You know, and then kind of like the why behind it is not there, because you're just kind of making these decisions because there's no storyline behind it. There's no type of emotion. You don't get to have these conversations with these characters.
Interesting. I still need to finish the first one before I can start on the second. It's just tough. The first one, it's just tough getting through.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people complain about the Mako and stuff like that, but half of that stuff you don't even have to go through, except for maybe about three missions where you have to do it. Other than that, you really don't have to do that stuff. You can kind of just go through it and finish it. But I like Mass Effect 1. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I did too.
A lot of the stuff people complain about, I kind of, I guess, forgave it, I guess.
Alrighty. I guess next we can jump into, I guess, finish off our gaming part of the show with the next upcoming month of basically shooters. Well, I guess it's not just upcoming month, but it also starts this week with Breach coming out.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, we were talking about that before the show.
Yes. I don't know too much about this game. I knew who was making it, and I knew it was a multiplayer, you know, game, and that, you know, it's $15, and I just basically knew a lot of people are hyped about it. Knox, you're pretty hyped about it, aren't you?
Yeah, I've been waiting on this, because I was going. It was supposed to come out. It was supposed to come out the same time that Black Light Tango Down game came out. But I guess they kind of pushed it back because of the fact that they didn't want to have two downloadable online shooters kind of competing against themselves. This is actually from what's the guy's name? Atomic Games, the guys that made the 6 Days in Fallujah game that never came out.
Yeah, because
of the whole controversy and everything. But like Poetic said, it's $15 is coming out for PC and XBLA. It's going to be a straight downloadable title. But I've been watching a couple of the trailers and stuff like that ever since like mid to late last year. And what's so cool about this game is the engine. It's kind of sort of like Battlefield Bad Company, but you know how like in Bad Company, how like when you break a wall or like you break a building, like you pretty much know what areas can be broken and what areas can't, you know? But this one is a little bit different. Like, say for instance, you're inside of a fortress and the fortress has like a brick wall. You can shoot out like a single brick in that wall, and then you can pretty much perch in that area with like a rifle or, you know, whatever gun you choose, and you can shoot through that one brick. Or you can choose to kind of demolish like the side of a house for that person that's shooting out of that building. You can kind of get in there after them or whatever, but the destructible environments is going to be – they say everything is going to be completely destructible, but it's going to be detailed destructibility. So I thought that was pretty cool about the game.
Yeah, it looks, even though it's an arcade game, it looks really cool. Like it's got really good graphics.
Yeah, I think they're actually using the Unreal Engine. I'm not entirely sure, but I mean, just the level of detail that it has, just being a downloadable title only. I mean, it looks pretty good. It looks kind of like a mixture between Battlefront and that Homefront game. that's coming out. It kind of looks like that type of animation style.
I'm just worried about whether it's going to have legs. I mean, because we've had other, you know, basically shooter-type multiplayer games that have come out, and people have played them for maybe a month, a little longer, and then, you know, it just doesn't have any legs, basically. Like, you have the Battlefield 1943.
Uh-huh.
Then, what else?
That has legs, though. I mean, that game is still being played today.
I guess. I'm sure there are some people, of course, who are going to stick with it, but no one that I know, I haven't seen anyone play it, and I play it every
now and then.
But and also Monday Night Combat. I mean, I bought that game all hyped about it.
Shh,
and
Sabari might hear you.
Well, he needs to have some more game nights then.
Yeah, man, listening. I'll be the first person in there, man.
Same, because you know I bought that and I definitely haven't gotten my money's worth yet. I just never got around to playing it with other people. I mean, there were a few game nights for it, but never anything that kept going. I mean, because, you know, other stuff came out. The actual big titles came out, so people, you know, dispersed and ended up playing those. That's the problem with the little arcade games are, you know, they're fine and fun to play with. But, you know, when you have the huge, you know, massive AAA titles coming out, they kind of take priority over Xbox Live Arcade games.
Well, Breach was actually at PAX East.
Yeah, I remember seeing that.
Yeah, it was actually almost stolen.
Actually, the code was stolen, and they ended up catching
them. Oh, yeah, that was that one guy, right, that got arrested?
Yeah, that was pretty hilarious story, but I remember seeing that there. I didn't get a chance to play it, but it definitely looks interesting. Like I just said, you know, I'd pick it up if people play it, and you know, I can get my $15 out of it. But I'm just worried that, you know, it'll be played for maybe a week, maybe a couple game nights for 2 weeks, and then, you know, Killzone comes out, or, you know, Bulletstorm or something like that, and everyone disperses. I think that's the big problem with the arcade games. And, you know, somewhere, you know, Zavari's probably, you know, he's probably going to be cursing when he hears this, because, you know, he freaking loves those arcade games. I have nothing against the arcade games. I'm just saying, you know, people end up tending to go towards the AAA games because they offer more. And, you know, everyone's different, so everyone picks a game they like, and it just seems like people split up between stuff. But, yeah, I'm definitely going to get the demo for that, try it out. People are on it, I'll pick it up.
I mean, you were talking about Bulletstorm. What do you think of that?
I think it seems interesting. I mean, I'm really intrigued about, you know, co-op, the four-player co-op. Anything with co-op, I love, because I just find games more fun that way. Single-player games are fine, but co-op's where it's at for me, anyways.
Now, is Bulletstorm, does it have RPG elements, or is it just the scoring for the special kills?
No, it's just scoring for special kills, I believe.
I think there should be some RPG elements to it.
I don't know. There might. I don't know. I haven't really looked too much into it. I mean, I haven't had time to really look too much into a lot of games, but I mean, the scoring thing looks fun, especially with playing with three other friends, you know, trying to, you know, I guess kill in unique ways and have fun with it. And it definitely looks like a fun game. Plus, I mean, pre-ordering it, I get in the Gears of War 3 beta. So that was a big factor for me too.
Yeah, that's what everybody's buying it for. I don't know, man. I guess I'm not too high on this game. I mean, I like the fact that it's, I guess, coming out. But have you seen the trailer for it yet?
Is there a new trailer for it?
No, it's the one. I can't think of the designer's name, but there's a girl on it and there's a guy on it, and they're just like I mean, the trailer comes on and they're just screaming obscenities and, you know, curses and everything.
Oh,
and they're like,
yeah.
Hey, it's supercharged or whatever. I don't know, man. It just feels like this game is almost insulting my intelligence as a gamer. It's like Gears of War to like the 10th power with a can of Red Bull. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I just think it's those people that were playing it who made it, you know, seem like it was that way. You know, it's definitely going to be different with, it's basically going to be, depend on who you play it with, really, I think.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully, the co-op will be fun, but I don't know, man, just this whole combo structure and doing the shooting and everything. I guess it'll be more of a casual shooter, to where you can do that type of stuff, but it's just not intriguing me at all.
See, that's why I think it needs the RPG elements to it.
Yeah,
where you at least get something for what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like how Borderlands had it with the RPG shooter.
Yeah.
Then I definitely agree with you there.
of course you would.
Anything more Borderlands, I'm down with. But yeah, I got that pre-order almost paid for in full. Just have a little left on that, so I'm definitely looking forward to that. The Call of Duty Black Ops map pack.
Yeah, those are coming out.
Is it the second or the first?
I think this is going to be the first of the first Black Ops maps. Yeah,
no, I meant February.
The
release date.
I have no idea.
Is it the second or the first? Because one is the map packs, and then one is the Killzone beta. I can't remember which one's which.
I mean, it may be the second.
Yeah, but $15. I haven't really looked too much into it, but I've heard a lot. I listened to some podcasts and heard about it. It's got, some indestructible environments, kind of like Battlefield. And it's supposed to actually change the gameplay somewhat for the certain maps. I think four of them.
Oh, wait, is it supposed to like change the map as far as the environment, or is stuff supposed to change, or is it supposed to be like, you know, adding something kind of like the Zero G stuff in Halo Reach? You know how it kind of changes, you know, the battle when you go outside or whatever.
I think it does, because like what I was hearing people say was like one level has this bridge where you have to cross or you can't cross, and someone can blow it up, so there's a risk there. And I really haven't seen the trailer that everyone's been, you know, going crazy over, but I'm big into the Black Ops. I'm really loving it. I haven't found any glitches like, you know, Modern Warfare 2. Thank God I'm playing it on the 360 and not the PS3. Because I hear there's just glitches like crazy on the PS3 copy.
Aren't they like forming like a petition or something like that? Like going against I don't know if they're going against Activision or if they're going like directly at Treyarch about it. About the PS3 version being like, you know, I guess the lesser version, as you would say, because it's having problems with the servers and all that stuff and everything.
Yeah, it's just people are hacking into it. I mean, the PS3's kind of had a rough time. I mean, yeah. You got the dude, what was it, Geohot, who's jailbreaking it, and other people hacking it and figuring out there's some certain code in it where you can basically just trick it to get free games or something.
Yeah, I seen that also, but just specifically to Black Ops, like people are going so far as to My youngest brother was telling me about it. People are going so far as to like hack, you know, certain aspects of like the multiplayer. So like they can hack the code into where when you hop into a multiplayer match, like your cursor automatically like pops over to each enemy and stuff like that, like on the PS3 version. I'm not saying that that's true. I can't confirm or deny it, but I mean, but if people are signing petitions and getting ready to do a lawsuit, I mean, I would think it's pretty serious.
So that's why Cookie left the PS3 version for the Xbox 360 version for the PS3 version.
I don't know about that, but I'm definitely having fun with Black Ops. I mean, I haven't found any problems with it, really. I mean, sometimes there's some trouble trying to get a game started and, you know, reconnecting because certain people quit, but that's just typical. You know, that's the people, not the real game's problem.
Do you have the PS3 version?
No, I have the 360.
Oh, okay.
But nothing like Modern Warfare 2 with the javelin glitches and the care package and all that. Nothing like that.
Yeah. But so, see, I think the key factor is that they were able to fix those, and they fixed them, you know, fairly quickly. But I think on this one, like, they're not able to actually even do anything about it. Like, I mean, you just get what you get on the PS3, you know, on that version.
Yeah, I wasn't even going to pick up Black Ops, but I just kept seeing so many people playing it, so I ended up peer pressure, and I got it, and I'm just having fun with it, so I'm definitely probably going to pick up the map pack. I think 4 new maps plus the zombie map pack, and I know a lot of people are like, zombies, I don't care about zombies. I care about zombies. That's some fun co-op right there.
Well, that's a pretty good value. I mean, $15 and you get that much content. I mean, it's better than just getting 3 maps and then 2 of the old maps on Modern Warfare 2. I mean, at least they give you, you know, a co-op mode, a multiplayer mode, you know, a little bit more content for $15. I mean, you know.
Yeah, new maps.
Yeah, but I mean, if they brought out 2 maps at $15, people still pay for it. Just like they did in Modern Warfare.
I didn't pay for it. Yeah. The javelin glitches got so bad, I really, for 2 weeks, I couldn't play any games. I mean, I would try, but it was just not fun, so I sold that as quick as I could. It was just bad, but definitely glad there's no problems on the 360. I guess, Vic Joe, take that. The 360 is better, at least right now, for this part. For this game, anyways. What's next? Killzone 3, the open beta, starts in February. That starts the 2nd, okay.
Yeah, that's going to be running from the 2nd through the 14th. But now the Killzone 3 beta is going to be for everybody. Whereas in previous time, the Killzone beta was only for PlayStation Plus members. I played the beta. I mean, it's a good game. I mean, so 2nd through the 14th of February, hop in there. Anybody who has a PS3, it's available to you. Download it and hop in there. You know, I mean, that game is I would probably go ahead and say right now, like, it's probably going to be the pinnacle as far as graphics are concerned for the first-person shooter. Just the amount of assets that thing runs, from all the particles, textures, the anti-aliasing is, you know, perfect. Just looking at the game is gorgeous and beautiful. Like, I mean, you can't even pay attention to the actual game for looking at the landscape of it and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's going to be the best looking shooter since Killzone 2.
Yeah, if they just fix those controls, from what I played, the controls feel a little bit tighter. But of course, I mean, if you're used to playing shooters on a 360, I recommend getting, you know, that Power-A controller or that Pro Elite controller where the analog and D-pad is swapped, and the triggers are a little bit more firm, because I mean, those R buttons are are clicky. I can't play a shooter like that. But you know, if you do that, I mean, I think that you'll have an enjoyable experience with it. Hopefully, the campaign will be written a little bit better. So,
yeah. I don't know too much. I don't think they've really talked too much about the campaign for it.
But, no, they haven't.
Yeah. So I'm curious about that. I still need to finish the second one up, honestly. But
you need to play some games.
I do.
There's so many games you need to play.
There are. I do. But I've just been. It's Netflix. Netflix is what's getting me. You know, I just get caught up watching Netflix instant watch and.
That's what you do. What I do. You set one screen on Netflix, and then the other screen you play games on.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat, man. I haven't finished so many games. I'm just now charging through the end of Assassin's Creed 2. I got Brotherhood like sitting over there in the corner. What else? Haven't finished up. I haven't even touched Batman. Haven't touched that yet at all. I mean, it's just so many. Half-Life 2, the Orange Box. I mean, it's so many games. It's just like in a stack of shame that I can't never get to because so much stuff is coming out. I mean, but it's a little bit slower now, so I'll probably get to most of it. But I'm in the same boat, Will.
Yeah. You mentioned Assassin's Creed 2. Stuart, I got a question real quick.
Yes.
How long is that game? How long is Assassin's Creed 2 as far as the...
I can't remember. I remember I spent quite a bit of time in there. Not as much time as I think I spent in Brotherhood, though.
Okay, so you had both too?
Yeah.
Okay, I got a quick question too. This is like Ask Stuart Day, but I've been kind of curious because I've been kind of like kind of charting through Assassin's Creed 2, trying to build up my your city. You know your fortress or whatever.
Yeah.
But I've been trying to ask a couple people. Does that really matter, or can I just go to all the exclamation points and just follow the main storyline and just go ahead and finish it so I can get to Brotherhood?
Well, building up your city will give you discounts for the shops that are in the city.
All right.
So does it
play a role like if I build up my city for Assassin's Creed 2, will that stuff like transfer over in Brotherhood? Because I mean, from what I hear, like it picks up like seconds after AC2 closes.
Yeah. It's really hard to tell because of what happens kind of towards the beginning.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I'll go ahead and chart through it and get the stuff.
What I do recommend, though, is to get all the... I forget what they're called. Patient 16 or whatever it was. The little hidden things that you have to find using your
eagle eye. The little...
little video like, clips.
The hieroglyphic structures or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd recommend getting all those.
Yeah.
That is that. Because that gives you more of what actually kind of more backstory than the actual game gives.
Yeah. I think I've gotten like six so far, but they're kind of separated a little bit, so I'll play the clip and I'll hit play all, and I'm like, what in the heck is going on?
Yeah,
they start running, then they're jumping off something, then it kind of goes real quick. I'm like, oh man.
Yeah, once you collect them all, it's actually a much longer scene than even you think it is.
Oh, okay.
But if you just go to IGN, there's walk. Throughs on how to get them all.
Oh, cool. I'll do that.
Righty, and this has been Ask Stuart. Tune in next week when we ask. No. But yeah, I was just curious how long it was, because I'm trying to play through it so I can get to Brotherhood, because everyone's playing that and I really want to jump on the bandwagon, and just curious how long it's going to take me. But I guess after that, I guess we can take our OFR in break, promo break, so I guess we'll be back.
Bubba, look, we got to talk about the OFR sportscast.
I don't even want to talk about the sportscast.
In the 40-cast, dude.
Nope, 40-cast. I'll talk about Geeks for the Win.
Is that all, just Geeks for the Win? What about Prove Your Point?
You prove your point. What is your point? I don't even understand what we're doing. I thought we were supposed to be doing a commercial or something.
In the Section Z, you can't forget the Section Z podcast. Or the Angry Mailman podcast.
Angry Mailman podcast.
Dude. Just go to openformradio.com.
All right.
Fine.
And we're back from our little break. We kind of touched in on some of our I Recommend stuff. And since, you know, we have a third host, we're now going to have three things for the I Recommend section. So hopefully that doesn't make things too much crazy or long. Or that's just one more good thing we recommend to you, hopefully.
Yes.
If anybody want to go first with theirs, or do y'all want me to go?
Oh, I'll start off with mine. All right, yeah. So it's your Stuart?
Nope, whoever.
Okay. Yeah, mine is actually a movie called Once Fallen. It's actually on the Instant Queue. I had it in my queue for a little while. This movie was actually filmed in 2010. It stars a couple people. Can't think of the guy's name. He was in the movie Just Cause. He was a crazy prisoner that was kind of locked up. It also stars Taraji P. Henson. She's actually in it too. But basically, it's the story of this father. He had two sons. It's basically their story also. But it pretty much goes through the life of these two kids. One of the kids, I think at some point he was getting molested. So his father pretty much takes it upon himself to go to the neighbor's house where he knows this being done at.
I thought he was getting molested by his father. I thought they were just friends, not brothers.
Yeah, that's
all. Oh, they weren't. They just called each other brothers.
Yeah, I think that's. Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Sorry for interrupting, but.
Oh, that's okay. That's cool. He winds up going to jail and pretty much, you know, being in there. And with him being in there and, of course, not having any family and not having anybody really to kind of talk to, because at the time that he went, I mean, his sons were, you know, super young, probably no more than about, probably say, what, seven or so?
Yeah, seven, eight.
Mm. Yeah. So, I mean, so he becomes the heir. He somehow becomes the head of the Aryan Brotherhood and all this stuff. His son is in jail also. But he winds up getting out. Then his story ensues with Taraji's character. He starts to, of course, find a love interest in her in the midst of him trying to get out of this bad situation that he's in, trying not to go back to, you know, his old life. But then he's stuck with a son of his own that he didn't even know that he had. So, I mean, his story pretty much progresses on from there. I won't give any spoilers, but. I mean, but it's a pretty good movie. I mean, it's, you know, it's a good drama, it's a good emotional drama. It's not nothing like Oscar winning performances or nothing like that, but it's something cool, you know, to watch. And it's a fairly new movie too, so.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I really did. It actually surprised me, because at first it I didn't really see where it was going, because it was kind of slow at the beginning. You didn't really know what the whole movie was about and where it was going, but you know, I really enjoyed it. It was really I would think it would be Oscar worthy for some things. I mean, maybe at least nominated for, I would say.
Yeah.
But because it was pretty good. I think one of my favorite things was when the main character was went to apologize to the love interest or whatever, and she was all like her whole attitude towards it, like,
oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Basically, like, you want to fuck me, don't you? You want me, don't you? Well, come on. And he's like, no, I'm just no. I thought that whole scene was really hilarious.
Yeah, because you kind of get a bit of the emotional, the emotional weight of her character, because that's the way she had been used to being treated, you know, and you know, him being fresh out of jail and stuff like that, he already had, you know, these blemishes pretty much of his character that, you know, pretty much everybody was, you know, prejudging him pretty much. And she did, too. And he's like, no, that's not what I want. You know, I just want to talk to you, whatever. But, you know, just the whole mentality of, like, you know, him trying to get out of that life. But then so many people like paint that broad stroke, you know, once a failure, you're always a failure. Once a convict, you're always a convict. And, you know, I just like the whole redeeming factor about, you know, the guy and his story, that you can be redeemed, you know, if you make right choices and, you know, in your life to change it around.
Yeah, definitely. It did kind of end sad though, I thought, but I you definitely could see that was going to happen though. The ending.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil it for our listeners, but I mean, it was kind of predictable. I guess Ed Harris, the guy who played the main dad, the one who was killed the other dad.
Yeah, that's who he is.
He did a good job, I thought.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Because you saw him and you were like, damn, that dude's fucking cold.
Yeah.
That dude's fucking tough.
Yeah.
So he played a real tough, hard ass pretty well.
I like the scene where the kid comes into the prison. He's like looking all mean at the kid, and the kid flips him off. And then he's like, well, I love you too. And he's like over in the corner. Oh, that was funny.
I like the part where he brings his kid to see his dad, and his dad's like, what's your favorite superhero? Aquaman. Yeah. What the fuck? That whole thing. And he was like, why don't you? He told the security guard, why don't you take him to try to find a what was it?
Silver Surfer comic.
Silver Surfer.
I thought that was just hilarious. But yeah, that's basically it. You know, who the hell likes Aquaman? But yeah, it is definitely a good movie. I enjoyed it. Stuart?
I think I lost consciousness through part of the movie, but the whole thing with the dirty cop, I was confused. I had no idea. I don't know where that was coming from.
Well, confused on what part, though? I mean, the reason why he was dirty or what?
It just... Well, really, that one scene where he's cutting up the dude in the bathtub.
Oh, yeah, I remember what you're talking about.
I was like, what? Huh? Did I miss something? What happened?
Yeah, but that guy, he wasn't really all there, and I think that's the part of the character they were trying to portray. But I think the reason why, like, you kind of felt that way, maybe because they didn't go all the way with it. Because, like, on one hand, he was kind of ruthless, and on the other hand, he was kind of like, you know, like he cared for this guy, and, you know, he kind of wanted him to be a part of it, even though the guy was telling him he didn't want to be a part of it. But I think that's, yeah, I don't know if it was the writing or just the acting or what, but I see what you mean.
Yeah, definitely that part was a little bizarre. I guess they threw that in just to, I guess, show how crazy he was.
Yeah, and he was feeding the parts to the dog, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a bit disturbing. I guess, Stuart, you want to go or you want me to go?
Yeah, I can go. My choice was a British show on BBC called Primeval. There's 3 seasons on Instant Watch. And
4th one just started, I think.
Yeah, it did. But I would say the first 2 are the best. The first 2 seasons.
Yeah, this is a reason why I really need to, you know, I guess maybe multitask Netflix and gaming, because I got addicted to this show and started watching them instead of playing games. And I'm currently like on the 3rd season now, but they're short seasons. They're like, what, 6 episodes?
Yeah, a season? Like that.
Something really short, shorter than normal British television, which is pretty short to begin with. But go ahead.
I was just gonna say what it's about. It's about this these kind of rifts kind of open up in time, and like dinosaurs come through sometimes, or things from the future, or it's. And then, like, this British government group is just trying to get a handle on it, and it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm definitely enjoying it. It's definitely humorous. I mean, there's a lot of humor to it.
Yeah, there is.
And, what's her name? The chick
Baby
who played
Spice.
Abby? What?
Baby Spice. From the Spice Girls.
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't Baby Spice. That was the chick from S Club 7.
That was Baby Spice.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
I'm going to have to IMDb that. Yeah, I definitely am addicted to it. And I, like I said, I'm on the 3rd season already. I love this section, but it really, you know, takes away from my gaming time, because almost everything we recommend I end up liking. So, it's definitely British. I mean, there are some shows that don't seem too British, but this definitely has its British moments. I think anyone could watch this, despite the, you know, it's British. But did you get a chance to watch it, Knox?
Not too much of it. I didn't get a chance to actually watch too much of it. I caught it a little bit, but not too much to where I could actually like start to get into it.
Ah, okay. It definitely picks up. I mean, and it's a pretty good show. And I'm looking.
You said they're on season 4 now?
Yeah, season 4.
All the seasons are all on Instant.
Season 1 through 3 are Instant. 4 just started.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Stuart, I told you so. She's not. She wasn't Baby Spice.
I could have swore
she was in a different band, like late 90s, early 2000, called S Club 7. That was like, on like the Fox Family or some channel like that. It was some different band. It had like 7 members. It had its own TV show and whatnot, but I watched that growing up, so. But, yeah, she wasn't Baby Spice, but she was a pop star.
Okay, that's where I was getting it.
She was a pop star, though. Yeah, definitely a good show. My choice was a movie called Network. It came out in the, I think, I want to say 70, 76, something like that. Basically, it's around a network, and one of the characters basically is getting fired, and he, at the beginning, he basically says on air he's going to kill himself, and it just pursues from there. Did you all get a chance to watch it?
Yeah, it was.
It's really a dark comedy. Drama/dark comedy, because it's got some dark humor to it.
Yeah, I really enjoy it about the middle of the movie, and then it really kind of tailed off.
Do you mean when they got real crazy with the broadcast?
That was where it reached its high point.
Yeah, I gotta agree with that, but I mean it. I don't know why I just ended up loving this movie. I had to watch it for a film study class in, I think, high school. Yeah, it's one of the grades in high school. And, you know, it's just, it's a good movie, I think. Knox, did you get a chance to watch it?
Not too much of it. I kind of listened to it. So I really didn't get an opportunity to really get into it like I wanted to. I was listening to it at work and kind of looking at it off and on, but I kind of tapered out of it because I tried to watch it during the beginning of the week. I guess I like the dark comedy a little bit, but like Stuart said, they started to kind of taper off, and I think I fell asleep the first time I tried to watch it.
Yeah, it's definitely a serious type, dark humor, but more dramatic, serious type movie. It's not
right,
you know.
Yeah,
but it was definitely a good movie for us to, like, in my film study class. We definitely appreciated that movie, and I can't remember that quote about that dude had. I'm mad as hell and something.
I'm not gonna take it anymore.
I'm not gonna take it anymore. Yeah. That's one of my favorite lines, I think, ever.
What got me is, like, the stuff, like, he was spouting when he was, you know, the prophet or whatever on the show, is, like, how much it holds up today.
Oh, definitely. That's one of the aspects we talked about in my film study class. It's just, like you said, it holds up today, and it's on Instant Watch. All of these are on Instant Watch. I don't know if we've made that clear. So we try to make all of our stuff on Instant Watch or on Hulu.
Yeah, well, I would say if you watch the movie Network, fast forward through the relationship scenes.
Yeah. But yeah, it's pretty interesting, and it does get pretty crazy at the end with some of the stuff they do on the show, but I just thought it was an interesting movie, and it's one that when I saw it was on Instant Watch, I was like, oh, I gotta add that, because it's something different from the choices I've picked for the show. Definitely different. I guess with that, we can go on to the question of the week, the geek question of the week.
Yes. This week's question was, if you could combine different game styles and themes to create your perfect game, what would they be?
Stuart, you want to go? Sure question. I would think you would have your answer already.
This is a question that I've thought about for years. Like, what would be a game I would be so addicted to and never want to leave? It's actually WoW, but what would make me want to leave WoW? I would combine The Sims 3, throw in the controls for GTA 4, so, like, it's a single-person control, you know, not really families or whatever. And then kind of throw in some MMO elements to it.
So basically a MMO GTA game?
Yeah, with, you know, kind of like what the Sims Online probably should have been.
I think that would be a pretty big deal. I'm sure a lot of people would like that. I guess, me, I would like to see, surprise, surprise, I would like to see a Borderlands-type game, but actually taken to the next step, like, actually an MMO-type Borderlands, because that game just, screams it would be good as an MMO. I mean, the co-op for that game is just so fun. Playing, I mean, you can only play with four people, but the co-op is just so fun on that, and the loot aspect of it is just crazy. And if you could expand that to an MMO type, you know, basically an MMO RPG shooter, I'd be stuck on that. You know, it'd be game over for me.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, that would.
Knox, what would yours be?
Mine is actually inspired from the DLC armor that I've seen, like kind of like the crosses of the two universes between BioWare and Mass Effect. With like the Blood Dragon armor and the Isaac armor for Dragon Age, but I would combine, I guess the world or the age of Dragon Age or like an Oblivion type game, with the Halo universe. So I would have like a medieval Master Chief, and pretty much tell like a medieval Forerunner series out of that. I think that'll be pretty cool.
Would he use guns or a sword?
Oh, no. Everything would be based in like the world of Dragon Age. So like, you know, the whole medieval, like everything the same. Same weapons, but like, you know, less technology based the way Halo is now. But just kind of see what BioWare could take, you know, the Halo series, you know, and just give it to him, let him just take it and just run with it and see what they could do with it that time period. That'd be cool.
Would you still have multiplayer?
Yeah. I think they could pull it off. You could do the multiplayer, just don't make it first person shooter. You know, I mean, you could have it like multiplayer along the lines of
Sorcerer.
like a World of Warcraft or something like that. You know,
third person.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you know, more of a third person type deal, and then, you know, where it'd be less about accuracy and like more about, you know your skill play as far as like your incantations and your party group and everything.
So it would be like an MMO on the console. Like Xbox
sort of, but kind of not that big though. Like some something along the lines of a Red Dead Redemption, like just big enough for the space of that world, but not like too vast to where you would get like completely lost in it.
Okay, so no like team deathmatch and capture the flag.
No, something more co-op based, and you could do PvP. But it would be still like more towards something like more like team battle stuff.
Okay, I got you. That does seem interesting. I'd probably play that. Stuart, you Twitter responses?
Yes, we had a couple. Scarfinger said Space Borderlands with Mass Effect 1 loot.
I don't know too much about Mass Effect 1 loot, but Borderlands, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Borderlands?
Yes, definitely.
Well, Mass Effect 1, you had tons of loot falling on lockers and everything else or whatever, so that'd be perfect with the Borderlands style.
Awesome. Any others?
Prophet 209. The answer Mass Effect 2 with more MMO element. I guess that would be the Old Republic.
Yeah.
Yeah, then I'm looking forward to that, so yeah. Already. So,
I noticed kind of a pattern going with all of ours. We all wanted MMOs.
Yeah. Like I kind of think that's going to be the progression of where gaming should go. I mean, because think about it. I mean, we had single player games, then when GTA 3 hit the scene, that's when it was like the open world genre and everything kind of opened up. Now everything is more moving more or less towards the MMO space. Like not as detailed, but I think a space where it's a little bit more controlled and you don't have that much freedom and it's more concise. I think that's the space where, that's like the next shift to where gaming is going to go, because I mean, where else can you go? I mean,
I'm definitely curious about the DC Universe Online MMO though. As far as MMOs go, I've heard a lot of stuff about that, and I'm about to jump on it, but I'm already starting to see people say they're getting rid of their copy and stuff like that, so I don't know. That seems like the big, you know, the first step for MMOs on a console.
Yeah, well, if you're really wondering about like a superhero MMO, Champions Online goes free to play tomorrow.
Oh wow!
So as of right now, so January 25th, Champions Online is free to play.
Oh no, that doesn't. Wow, I'm never gonna get any of my console games played. Wow. Yeah.
I think MMOs should, I mean, especially with the ability to do microtransactions now and stuff like that. Like, I think everybody wins with a free to play model. It's just a lot smarter, because I mean, let's face it. I mean, you're not gonna take the WoW people away from WoW. I mean, you're not gonna take the StarCraft 2 people away from StarCraft. I mean. So, I mean, you got to find a different avenue. Like, I think that's where DCUO is kind of messing up at, is they're trying to be on both sides of the fence. Like they're trying to give you that single player experience on consoles, but they're also trying to keep the controls more tight knit, which is causing the PC version to kind of suffer from the lack of options and stuff. It's either you're going to be all in this way, or kind of find a happy medium, because I guess the general consensus of DCUO is kind of like, you know, well, you can do this, this, and this, but, you know, I mean, but like the party system is lacking. Well, the controls are lacking or whatever, and they're kind of getting hit from both sides. I think, you know, just I guess whenever you make an MMO nowadays, just be focused on what your goal is going to be and just go after it. I mean, because you got the same, you know, failure. I mean, look at APB, you know, they were trying to do everything and they wound up failing because of it.
Yeah, 6 months, right? Or less than that?
Less than that. I think it was like 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would just have to say with the DC Universe stuff, on the PC version, there's no mouse movement. Like, it's all reticles stuff.
Right, exactly. Like, you can tell it was made for the console.
Yeah, which is weird, because you can't cross over. Like, you can't there's no crossover servers. It's either all PC players or it's all PS3 players.
Yeah.
So I don't know why there was, you know, why couldn't, you know, the PC servers have the mouse control?
I don't know.
It's
That's definitely it was probably just, you know, I don't know if it was built on the PS3 and then ported to the PC. Maybe that's the why, but I don't know. But, you know, I've heard a lot of people talk about it. You know, oddly enough, I've heard a lot of people talk about it while playing Super Street Fighter 4. But, yeah, and I'm just, you know, the geek in me really is like, you know, all the voiced work for all the original, you know, like DC characters. That intrigues me as well, and I don't know. The main thing is I don't think you can, once you buy it, you can't really trade it in to like GameStop or stuff like that. I've heard. So if you buy it, you're stuck with it, or you gotta sell it on eBay or something like that.
Yep.
But I just don't know if I don't think that'll really get me to jump into the $15 a month. It's got to be something really good to get me paying $15 a month. Maybe Star Wars will do that. I don't know. But that was our geek question of the week.
And follow me on Twitter for next week's question. I'm just going to come and say it. Next week question. I'm going to go the cheap route for this one. Superpowers. If you had one, what would it be?
Okay. I'm sure we'll get some interesting answers, because that seems to be an easier question to answer on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so reply me at reply the geeks for the win on Twitter or on Facebook in our Facebook group.
Yes.
Well, I just want to go ahead and say mine right now before somebody steals it. But I would have to have the ability to control air. There, I said it. Air. because that's like the most awesomest power. Like, if you can control air, you have the ability to fly. You have the ability to suck air out of a room. If a villain can't breathe, they can't attack you.
Yeah, that is true. that is a good one. I'm not going to say anything because I'm probably going to, you know, think about this all week long and try to think of something really awesome. And then,
you guys got a whole week. Make him good.
Yes.
Not some right off the head like air.
But anyways, and I guess our last thing is just something I quickly wanted to, you know, touch on. What we want the Geeks for the Win to become or in 2011. Personally, I don't want us to I don't expect us to get big, you know, and, you know, get free games, you know, game for game reviews, or, you know, get flown up to so and so for press conferences and stuff. Like, I don't expect any of that. I just
whoa. We're not against it, though.
Yes, we're not, but we're not expecting it. I mean, I never thought I'd get a free game, even if it was.
We are not against it, people of the internets. You can fly me to London anytime you want.
Yes, definitely. What I'd like for us to become is just more consistent, really, as far as posts go. I know I'm bad on that. I hardly post anything, and I definitely plan on changing that. I definitely do. I'm gonna try to at least post a few times a week, at least. But I know Knox, you post a lot, and you're probably one of our most consistent writers. So we need to all basically, follow your example. And,
oh man, just trying to do what I can when I can do it, man.
Yeah, and I'd like to find more writers, I guess, so it's easier to have consistent posts. You know,
we want a team content. Of 20.
Yeah, that'd like be 20 nice. Writers. That'd be nice. I'd settle for 10, but
well, it's just all about being consistent. Like, I try to what I try to do as far as the consistency, like I try to make sure that, like, I know if somebody brings out a post on like the 3DS, you know, I know that 20 other sites are going to have it, you know, at the exact same time. So what I try to do, I try to, I try to do a piece on the 3DS, but like have it like on different people's, you know, opinions on it, or, you know, something along the lines of for as like a question or something like that, rather than just, you know, copying and pasting a post or something like that or whatever, or just putting up what everybody else is posting up, which is pretty much the same thing. But I try to just make sure, like in the morning or like late at nighttime, just try to think of something that's different and post it up. But yeah, you know.
Yeah, and I know our other writer, Elf, when she first started, she was posting like one a day, and I knew that wouldn't last because that's just crazy. I mean,
yeah,
posting daily.
She's good though, man. She's still posting quite a bit though.
Yeah,
that's true. But I mean, like I said, more writers, so we wouldn't all have to, you know, we could post like maybe each of us, if we post every other day, you know, at the, you know, every 2 days, whatever, you know, it would, we'd still have content like daily. I guess daily content's what I'd like. And I'd like for us to maybe talk more about tech, because I love tech. But Stuart?
This is all me, that kind of stuff. But I want to do more videos. The thing is, I have to run the entire house to do that. That's really hard to do.
Yeah.
Because like, I really want to get more Kinect videos. But that would involve me moving my computer into the living room. And I did that for a while, and my parents hated it. So
yeah, we're all still waiting for that Dance Central video.
Okay,
yeah. I got it. We're still waiting for that.
Yeah, Scarfinger was asking me about that today.
there's been a couple weeks, the past 2 weeks, I have been doing Kinect parties, and I have been streaming them on Ustream.
Yeah, I did see that the other day, but I wasn't really by my computer. But real quick, did you see the, I guess, Dance Central DLC? There's some on sale right now.
Yeah, I was looking at the DLC list today. It is lacking so much.
Yeah,
there is 9 songs. 9.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Then I guess all of them are on sale because there's a bunch on sale for the deal of the week.
Yeah. They need to come out with some more songs, but I bet you they're waiting for Dance Central 2 to really start doing that.
Yeah, but I think also too, what's kind of part of it too is that they kind of shut down work for a little bit because, you know, they were going through that whole MTV Harmonix being sold debacle. So I think they were kind of sitting on their hands for a minute to try to figure out, you know, are we going to have a job in the next 2 months? You know,
true.
Because they were, you know, they were being sold, but they, you know, thankfully they got sold to themselves for about what was it, like $50 or something? And now they just kind of rebanded the studio back under the Harmonix. You know, they pretty much own themselves now. So that's why I think we didn't get that much content for it. Because I think that those songs that are on the deal of the week now, I think those had already been like, you know, sitting in the wing for a minute. They already made those songs, already had them ready to go. But I think that whole controversy of them, you know, being sold and not knowing where they were going kind of, you know, caused them to be hindered a little bit.
Yeah, that you do bring up a good point. Yeah, I thought your Kinect video review was pretty interesting. You know, if you can somehow do more of that, I think that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah,
You do have tons of people wanting to see you, you know, your Dance Central review actually on the site where they can see it on YouTube.
I will put me doing what song did I claim I could dance really well to? Oh, the Soulja Boy.
Oh man, you are braver than I, sir.
Because I am so close to getting 5 stars on hard, it's not even funny.
Oh, that I can't wait for that. Oh my god!
Like the Kinect parties. I'm going to be streaming them whenever I have them, because you know, it's me and two other friends, and they. I did it at first as a joke, but then like they kind of liked it, so I think we're going to do more of them. So, you know, keep an eye on my Twitter. Because in a lot of time, you're just, hey, come over, let's play Kinect. Okay. Because they're not planned and or anything.
Yes, come see Stuart make a fool of himself.
Yeah, no, well, not only me, but two of my friends. So.
Yeah. I'll definitely.
And we're white and not skinny.
Well, so Nox, what would you like the I guess site/podcast to become this year, being a new member to the actual podcast?
I don't know, like I said, I hope we can get more content, more posts up. It's kind of hard getting exclusivity out there. But yeah, I kind of would want to go the direction more of like the text stuff or whatever. And also, really, and it's just my thing, you know, just in general. But being more of an advocate for the consumer, like for the people who don't know, like we know. I mean, you look at all the Amazon deals and all the used, you know, different stuff that we look at. All the different gens of phones that come out over and over again, the different iterations of video game hardware, that comes out. So, you know, just I guess trying to inform people about that aspect. I mean, especially in tech stuff, because I get tons of tweets all day long about different deals. They had a Toshiba, I believe it was a Toshiba 46-inch on Amazon.com. It was something ridiculous. Like it was like $450. I mean, so, in that aspect, you know, just getting the uninformed, you know, informed. I don't know how we would do that, how we reach them, but that's just one of my own personal goals, just being more of a consumer advocate, whether it be tech, whether it be gaming, whether it be software based, you know, just anything. But yeah, I would like to see Geeks for the Win do more of that stuff, and I guess us being a more cohesive group.
That's definitely, now that you mentioned it, that would be a good direction to go. Like inform the people about, you know, because, you know, I guess not everyone does follow tech and stuff like that as much as like we do. I mean,
yeah,
I'm sure most of or probably at least half the listeners on that Prove Your Point episode you were on had no idea that there was going to be a phone with two processors,
yeah, you know,
with like a gigahertz each.
Yeah. I mean, but not only that, but like, take all the people that are switching or either flocking over to, the iPhone 4, you know, those people that are on Verizon now, you know, those people don't even have an idea of, you know, hey, there may be a new iteration of this phone coming out in about, you know, 6 months or maybe announced. You know, do you really want to pick up on this tech, or can you hold out for a second?
Do voice and data at the same time.
Right, exactly. Yeah. They have no clue, but they
despite
go sign
what
this
the commercial
two-year,
says.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but these people go sign this 2-year contract and they're stuck in it because they were not informed. And I'm thinking like, okay, well, I got the iPhone now. I can do all this stuff. And you go to use Google Maps and make a phone call at the same time. You can't do it, you know. So, you know, I mean, on top of the fact you're paying full price for it when there's tons of deals out there.
Yeah. I think we can somehow think of a way to accomplish that, whether it's a segment on the podcast or articles. Weekly articles or something. I'm sure we can figure something out.
Yeah, Cookie's been doing a good job of posting the game deals for the week every week. But we can use that post or probably, I don't know, you know, probably, you know, use that post or do like a couple posts to where we'll have like a tech section or a gaming section or, you know, electronic section or whatever. You know, it could be separate or the same, but, you know, just being a general consumer advocate, because we are informed, but not everybody is.
Yeah, that's definitely true. But on the flip side, how many people who aren't informed do you think would visit our site?
Well, I mean, hey, Twitter's powerful, man.
Yeah, that's true. But alrighty, sounds good. Hopefully we can accomplish all that. Okay, I guess it's time to get into the paperwork, as a lot of other podcasters like to say. You can leave us feedback a variety of ways. I mean, whether it's, you know, commenting on something we said, you know, whether it's a point we didn't make or something you want to bring to our attention about your views on something we said, something you'd recommend us, like a demo to check out or something to watch that you probably think we'd enjoy and want us to talk about.
Maybe an even better geek question of the week.
Yeah.
Than superhero powers.
Yeah. If you have a better geek question, definitely. There are a variety of ways to, you know, leave us feedback. You can search for us or for our Facebook group. Search Geeks for the Win. That's Geeks FTW. Twitter at twitter.com/TheGeeksFTW. You can leave us a message on our voice line at 1-347-GEEK-FTW. And that's 1-347-433-5389. I was prepared that time. Well, I was prepared, unlike last week. even though I did get it right last week, but or you can email us at thegeeksftw@gmail.com. And you can also, you know, leave us an iTunes review. We definitely enjoy iTunes reviews. I guess that helps us, you know, get more exposed more because we move up on the popularity list, I guess, with more iTunes reviews. So, you know, instead of being on like the 50th page on, you know, whatever category we're on, we'd be on the 49th or
hooray.
But and we'll give you a shout out, of course. I mean, and I guess with that, I can transition into shout outs, where I'd like to quickly just shout out two iTunes reviews we've had recently. MTS78 and Bubba Fat 55, thank you for our shout, or thank you for our iTunes reviews. I think they left that even after the contest, so thank you very much.
Thank you, sirs.
Yeah.
And I guess I'd shout out the crew I've been playing Super Street Fighter 4 with. Sabari, Golf Rat, Ace Black, Nox, you were in it with us a couple times, right?
Yeah, I was there a couple times.
Yeah.
Get beat up.
Yeah. I think didn't I beat you one time?
Yeah.
I think that was my only win for the night.
Yeah, you had Shanna. I picked Zangief.
Yeah.
Now if I would have been there, you guys both would have beat me. I suck at fighting games.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get used to playing on an arcade stick, because I played on a 360 controller, and because that's all I had for a while, and I got really good with that, so it's kind of hard.
You built that arcade stick, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I ended up buying it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, I remember for a while there, you were thinking about building one.
Oh, I still got parts that I can build one, but, you know, I have a 360 controller that kind of broke that I have. Well, the casing broke. Everything else worked, so technically I could go into building one, but I just got a really good deal on one, so I was like, it's just cheaper that way in the long run. And I probably would have ended up burning myself so many times trying to solder. But I guess that, and shout outs to the rest of the OFR crew. You know, the Open Forum Radio guys, Zabari, the Angry Mailman crew, and, you know, putting out great podcasts, keeping me entertained on the bus ride to and from my campus. So thank you very much. And I guess that's it for me. Knox, shout out.
Oh, yeah. As always, shout out to my family. Shout out to you guys. Thank you for having me a part of the podcast and a part of the site always. Shout out to Big Pimpin', FSLA on Twitter. Shout out to Sherry. Shout out to Scar. Shout out to the whole Scarcasm Live crew, Scoba. Thank you for having me on you guys' show also. Shout out to Vic, Devious, Mr. Man. Shout out to Blue Man. Shout out to everybody at Tag, PGR. Man, just shout out to the world, man, because it's awesome.
Yeah, and yeah, definitely shout out to Scarfinger, because he's listening to us in the live Ustream chat while he's playing something else, which, you know, that's the way to do it, because, you know, I wouldn't want to look at our ugly mugs for the whole time.
Yeah, and considering it's, you know, just a picture, I mean, it's not, I mean, video.
Yeah, definitely. But,
Scarfinger and Scott Run.
Yes, Dev. Oh, Scott Run? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, shout out to you too, Scott Run. But, Stuart, shout outs?
I would like to shout out the my friends who allow me to use them for my Ustream shenanigans. Because it we just have a blast and we just record it, just have fun.
Alrighty.
And I would, you know, shout out the OFRN and the Geek Twin Rot Riders. You guys are awesome. And I think that's it.
Definitely. Shout out to the writers, yes. And if you're interested in being a writer, you know, contact us. We're definitely looking.
And send a sample.
Definitely. with that, I guess this has been a long episode of The Geeks for the Win, episode 29, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
Adios.